Hi, I'm Peter Solomon. You're listening to Jazz 88. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Betty Levette, a legendary soul and blues singer. She's done all kinds of things, actually. And she's doing two appearances at the Parkway Theater coming up March 20th and 21st with singer Madeline Pirou. Betty Levette, it's a pleasure to talk to you. Welcome. I wanted to ask you to begin with to talk about your musical upbringing in Muskegon, Michigan. I read that your parents sold corn liquor and there were a lot of amazing musicians that actually came to your home.
Yes, how are you, Peter? Thank you for having me. It wasn't my musical upbringing. I was very little. I was only 18 months old when I first remember, you know, everything that was going on around me. But it was 1946 in a small town in western Michigan. So if you wanted a drink after work, you couldn't just drop into a bar if you were black. So you dropped by my house. Everybody that came there worked together. They ran a tab until the end of the week. And naturally, when a lot of gospel singers came through, so they had to do the same thing. So at 15, from about 18 months old to about 4 years old, I saw the Pilgrim Travelers, the Soul Stirrers, the Blind Boys of Mississippi and Alabama, and they came to my house to eat my mother's gumbo and chicken sandwiches and drink, and we had a jukebox. And I knew all the songs on the jukebox, and I would sing them. I'd stand on top of the jukebox and sing them for everyone.
So I read that your influences are myriad, and that it's not just blues singers that informed your style, that you've also named Red Foley as an influence. Can you talk about some of the different things that appealed to you as a young artist and the things that made a real strong impression on you?
Well, there on that jukebox, my father liked blues, and I had a teenage sister who liked all the current music, which at the time was B.B. King, Lil Esther, Chuck Willis. My mother liked pop and country westerns, so I liked songs by Roy Rogers and Dale Evans, Red Foley, B.B. King. I liked all the songs that were on the jukebox. I certainly didn't know I was being influenced, but apparently I was, because songs still sound like that to me. At first, they're just words on a piece of paper. So the artist makes the song whatever it is. If the song, the piece of paper is given to Mahalia Jackson, it would be gospel. If it's given to Little Richard, it would be rock and roll.
You made your first recording at the age of 16, and you characterized the sound of your voice in one interview as sounding like Mickey Mouse. Can you talk about the ways that you grew and changed as a performer as you got older?
Well, I'll bet you your voice sounded very much like Mickey Mouse, too, at first. And my voice got deeper and richer, but I had good people around me to help me be an artist, not just another record. And my manager, who was Jim Lewis, my first manager, who was very prominent in the Musicians Union in Detroit, which is where I grew up. And he told me, you may never be a star, but if you'll learn how to sing lots of songs and sing them well, you can sing for the rest of your life. I had no idea it was actually going to be the rest of my life.
Say it. Say the word, Lord.
So one of the things that you've earned a lot of praise for is the way you can kind of get inside a lyric and make the song your own. And you attribute at least some of that to the same manager, Jim Lewis. Can you talk about that aspect of your talent?
Well, it took a long time to realize what he was talking about, and I'm sure he was very exasperated with me after about 10 years. But most young people go for trying to be like the song or like the singer they like, and I as well as I when I was younger. But now the song has to be about me and the way I feel about it. And it really doesn't take any kind of special arrangement at all. I can't possibly feel like George Clinton or like Doris Day feel about a tune or sound like either one of them. I can only sound like me, and I choose songs that I have a feeling about. So all I'm doing really is just stating how I feel about the song.
I mean, it's funny, it sounds so simple, but if it were truly simple, then I think other people would be able to do it too. I mean, but you seem to be uniquely...
Oh, well, as I said, at first, Jim was saying he would hear the song by Cheryl Vaughn. I remember one night I got angry with him. I said, oh, you just want me to sound like Cheryl Vaughn. Cheryl Vaughn can't sing. And he slammed down on the brakes. We were in the car. And he put me out of the car. He said, you're too stupid to ride.
Bill and Coo, when they love, that's the kind of magic music we make with our lips when we kiss.
But he, as I said, he went through an awful lot because when I met him, I had already had an R&B hit record. So at 16, you couldn't tell me I couldn't sing. And he wanted me to know that I couldn't, that I just had a voice and I had to learn what to do with it. That's why I don't fear any of the youngsters that are about today. I don't care if they sold 80 million records. If they wander into me in a small joint late at night when I'm high too, and there's a piano there and somebody plays a real song, I will kill them.
What is it that helps you choose a song that makes a song right for you to sing?
The same thing that makes you buy it. I like it. Because I am an old woman, it has to make sense. The lyrics have to be very strong. If it's a silly song, it has to actually be funny. I can't just, in my band, we call them 10 and 2 songs, where you sing 2 verses and then you do the chorus 10 times, which is what a good one half of the hit recordings consist of today. But I can't do that. It has to actually start somewhere, have a middle, and then end somewhere. It has to make sense. It can't just be a figment of my imagination. I'm telling a story, only I'm telling it melodically. And so it has to make sense. So for me, now, lyrics just have to be very, very strong.
A worried woman with a worried mind. No one in front of me and nothing behind. Sitting on a strange man's lap, drinking champagne.
I doubt you could have talked me into doing a Bob Dylan album when I was very young. That isn't what I wanted to say, and I didn't like the music, and I didn't know that I could just do it any way I wanted to do it, and now I know.
Is your most recent album the one called Levette?
Yes.
Okay. I was reading that one features the music of a songwriter named Randall Bramlett. I was wondering if you could talk about him and what appeals to you about his music.
Oh, he sounds as if he writes his songs for me. And we have a great deal in common. He's had 17 flop records. And he's a very, very wonderful singer and writer, and that's what everybody says, but he still has had 17 flop records. And that is very traumatic, and that has pretty much happened to me. None of my records have been huge sellers. It's been the consistency, like Jim said. I've been able to sing because everywhere I go, people ask me to come back. And Randall Bramblett has this very same thing going. I love his lyrics. They're odd lyrics. They're really odd. There's one tune called Concrete Mind. It's really just a song about being unwilling to listen and take advice.
Angels hovering round my porch like I think they're working overtime. I was sleeping off a bad night, me with a concrete mind.
But I just thought the notion of it being called a concrete mind was really clever. And I changed a lot of the lyrics. And when we were talking early on, he said, do all the songs have to be about you? I said, yep.
I wanted to ask you to talk about your tour with Madeline Peru. And are you guys going to be singing together on stage? How is it set up?
We will be doing an hour apiece, and we have decided that if we thought of anything we wanted to sing together that could be done, that we wouldn't have to go into any extensive rehearsal to do, then we would do it. If not, we'll just do our hour apiece.
Betty LaVette, it has been a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Peter.
All right, take care. I spoke with Betty LaVette. The legendary singer will be performing at the Parkway Theater in a double billing with Madeline Peru. That's Thursday, March 20th and Friday, March 21st. More information at theparkwaytheater.com. I'm Peter Solomon for Jazz 88.